Democrats alarmed as Trump and Musk tighten their grip on the federal government.
Over the past few days, Democrats have warned the American people that DOGE is operating like a shadow government.
Do their concerns about presidential authority have merit?
They're doing lots and lots of things that are plainly illegal and under many different statutes for many different purposes in many different areas. And I think they're basically asking the Supreme Court a much more fundamental question is, do you care?
Today is Tuesday, February 4th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
Yesterday, I said that DOGE is not a real government agency. It has no authority to make spending decisions, to shut down programs, or ignore federal law. This is not debatable. This is an indisputable fact. No authority for spending decisions, to shut down programs, or ignore federal law. Yet, Elon Musk took issue with that warning.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. A reporter asked President Trump if he thought he did have the authority to shut down federal agencies.
An act of Congress to do away with USAID, or do you believe you have
the authority? I don't think so. No, if not when it comes to fraud. If there's fraud, these people are lunatics. And if it comes to fraud, you wouldn't have an act of Congress. And I'm not sure that you would anyway. But we just want to do the right thing. It's something that should have been done a long time ago. It went crazy during the Biden administration. They went totally crazy what they were doing and the money they were giving to people that shouldn't be getting it and to agencies and others that shouldn't be getting it. It was a shame. So they're tremendous fraud.
As a note, no evidence of fraud has been presented regarding USAID so far.
On Tuesday, Trump confirmed he will wind down the U.S. Agency for International Development. As for the Democrats' allegations that Elon Musk is running a so-called shadow government, President Trump said,
Elon can't do and won't do anything without our approval, and we'll give him the approval where appropriate, where not appropriate, we won't.
In fact, Trump said Musk has been doing a great job. More on this part of the story from Reuters correspondent Zachary Goldman.
The billionaire appointed by Donald Trump to shrink the U.S. government said on Monday he aimed to shutter the globe's premier foreign aid agency. Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla and SpaceX and the owner of the X social media platform, gave an update where he said the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, was, quote, beyond repair. USAID is the world's largest single donor. In fiscal year 2023, the U.S. disbursed $72 billion of assistance worldwide on everything from women's health in conflict zones to access to clean water and HIV/AIDS treatments. It was the source of 42% of all humanitarian aid tracked by the United Nations in 2024 and has a staff of more than 10,000 people. Trump has ordered a global freeze on most U.S. foreign aid as part of his America First policy. Field hospitals and Thai refugee camps, landmine clearance and war zones, and drugs to treat millions suffering from diseases are among the programs at risk of elimination. USAID also sends rescue workers to assist when disaster strikes around the globe. Trump has assigned Musk to lead a federal cost-cutting panel. Speaking broadly about cost reductions, Musk estimated the Trump administration can cut $1 trillion from the U.S. deficit next year. And he asserted that, quote, professional foreign fraud rings are stealing vast sums by masquerading as or creating fake digital U.S. citizens. Musk did not offer any evidence to support his fraud claim or explain how he reached the amount of $1 trillion. Targeting USAID follows on concerns about Musk's access to the U.S. Treasury system, first reported by the New York Times, that sends out more than $6 trillion per year in payments on behalf of federal agencies. That system contains the personal information of millions of Americans who receive Social Security payments, tax refunds, and other money from the government. Democrat Peter Welch, a member of the Senate Finance Committee, called for explanations as to why Musk had been handed access to the payment system and what Welch said included taxpayer-sensitive data. Quote, it's a gross abuse of power by an unelected bureaucrat, and it shows money can buy power in the Trump White House, Welch said in an emailed statement. Trump stated on Sunday night that Musk has his support.
Zachary Goldman from Reuters reporting.
Lots to unpack here, Scott. It's complicated. It's
Well, it is a battle that is not new. The push and pull between the executive branch and Congress, who has the power to do what, each side potentially shifting the amount of power that they have at any point in time.
Let's get some perspective from a legal and constitutional expert. Joining us now is David Super, professor of law and economics at Georgetown University Law Center.
Thank you so much for being able to join us.
Certainly.
So let's start big picture. This is really a battle between the executive branch and Congress and their power and authority, right?
It is. Congress has, since the beginning of the Republic, had the power of the purse, the power to control what funding is spent, and they've written the laws, which the president is then charged with implementing. President Trump, in a couple weeks in office, has rejected both of those propositions. He's claimed that he controls what money is spent and how, and he is now claiming the ability to disregard laws preserving Inspector General's tenure in office. He had threatened to disregard the law about the FBI director's tenure in office. The director quit. And he's now suggesting he can disregard statutes creating federal agencies, even a whole department.
Elon Musk has been named as a special government employee, which would appear that it subjects him to less stringent rules on ethics and disclosures from other workers. But the president says he has given him the authority. That's been the question from Congress. Does Elon Musk have the authority? Where does that part of this fit in, this Department of Government Efficiency?
Well, presidents are entitled to hire their own aides. And from time to time, they give their aides fancy names and fancy titles. And the political system has been through a lot of that. So by itself, naming something a Department of Government Efficiency is no particular problem. Where there are problems are giving government powers to private persons. Mr. Musk, as far as we know, has not been given any government position. He certainly has not been nominated for anything and subjected to confirmation by the Senate. So that is disturbing. It's unclear whether the people that are exercising power on behalf of Mr. Musk are government employees or private employees of Mr. Musk or one of his companies. We're hearing reports that they're refusing to give their last names and refusing to provide any government ID, which would imply that they may not be public servants. And sharing sensitive government information, including Social Security numbers, banking information, and so on, of millions of Americans with people in the private sector violates numerous federal laws.
I assume that as some of the things that they've already done, they're really trying to get this to the Supreme Court to get a ruling on whether or not they do, in fact, have this power.
I think it's broader than that. They're doing lots and lots of things that are plainly illegal and under many different statutes for many different purposes in many different areas. And I think they're basically asking the Supreme Court a much more fundamental question is, do you care? The court, if it analyzes the legality of this, is going to find one thing after another to be unlawful. Mr. Trump has repeatedly said that he thinks the three justices he appointed to the court owe him loyalty. And if you add Justice Thomas and Justice Alito to the three he appointed, that would be a majority. And so I think this is a test as to whether the Supreme Court is willing to enforce the law anymore.
But to what end? I mean, just so that they can just move forward without any check?
Yes, I think so. I think that the philosophy of government that Mr. Musk, Mr. Trump, Mr. Vogt, and others have expressed is fundamentally hostile to checks and balances, which is somewhat ironic because they claim to be restoring the country, yet checks and balances was the founding principle of this country and our Constitution.
So what about these agencies? There may be more that the president would like to see gone. He's mentioned the Department of Education. We know the power of the purse is with Congress, theoretically. Certainly there are funds that are appropriated to agencies in a budget that's, you know, approved by Congress, et cetera, and then approved by the president. What happens to the money if there's already been money that's been going into an agency? How does that work?
Yeah, there are federal statutes establishing many agencies. There are some that are created informally and can be ended informally. But there's a federal statute that creates the Department of Education. Title V of the United States Code, Section 101, creates the Department of Education. Title 22 of the U.S. Code, Section 6563, creates the U.S. AID. So the president cannot dissolve those agencies, those departments, without breaking the law. And this is another case where the president is flatly declaring that the law does not apply to him, and he is free to do as he pleases. And the question again is, does the Supreme Court care? It has always been the province of Congress to create, reorganize, abolish, merge, split cabinet agencies and sub-cabinet agencies. They've done that under every president since George Washington, and President Trump is claiming that he is above those laws and is betting the Supreme Court doesn't care.
So we're way beyond the argument over impoundment.
We are. That was illegal. That was a flat violation of the Impoundment Control Act. But now he's basically saying that any limitations on his power are unconstitutional, which is pretty much most of the United States Code, or a great deal of the United States Code is saying how things should be run. And he's saying that his priorities take precedence over the law.
So what about the, you know, they went into the Treasury Department, same thing. They went into computer systems that theoretically they should not have had access to. It's all the same path, right?
It is. It's complete disregard for law. Mr. Musk has said publicly that he is cutting spending that he regards as illegal. He has no training as a lawyer. He has no expertise. It's not at all clear that there's enough information in that system to allow even someone far better informed to know what's legal or not. But he doesn't seem to care. And the president is tweeting with approval the things that Mr. Musk is saying. So it appears that someone who is not even a government employee is taking it upon themselves to cut off spending that has been duly approved by Congress and has gone through all the proper channels, is subject in many instances to binding contracts and subject to the Federal Prompt Payment Act.
And just in general, what sort of information would they now have access to regarding Americans?
Well, this is a payment system, so they would have access to the information that a payment system needs. This is a federal one, but think about what information your bank has on you. They've got your Social Security number. They've got your banking account numbers, often the account numbers that you've made payments to, your various payment history, things like that. Not of great policy significance, not something that would allow one to evaluate the merits of the payments, but something that would be of great value to hackers and financial criminals. There are reports, this is not being done transparently, so we don't know what is true, but there are reports that they've downloaded enormous amounts of information to private servers. This, again, is a huge violation of federal privacy law if it has happened, and it creates enormous risks because if those servers are mishandled or if they're insecure or if a hacker figures out how to get into them, then the Social Security numbers, banking information, and so on of millions of Americans is up for grabs, and people may find their bank accounts being emptied out before they know it.
So let's play this out. Normally, you have a co-equal branch of government in the Congress that would object to their power being usurped. But since the Republicans control both the Congress and the Senate, the House and the Senate, you're not going to see any pushback coming from them, it seems. So if they're successful in doing all of these things, what does the new U.S. look like?
I don't think we know yet that Congress isn't going to push back. They haven't yet much. They were very clear they weren't going to confirm Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, and we have several other confirmations that are up for grabs. The Republicans control both the House and the Senate, but their majorities are very slim. So each individual representative, each individual senator has to make a decision as to whether this is acceptable to them. If a very few change, if three representatives and four senators decide they want to put some limits on this, they can do that. It's individual choices. And we have not heard from the Supreme Court. I think we will quite soon. Maybe not loud and clear, but sending a strong signal either that this is acceptable or that this is not acceptable. If, however, neither Congress nor the Supreme Court choose to intervene, then we will have a system that's very similar to an elected monarchy, where we elect someone for president for 4 years, and that person can do largely what they please.
The president has argued very strongly that many of these agencies are fraudulently using their funds.
There are procedures for doing that. There are procedures for addressing that. First off, every one of these agencies was there for 4 years during his prior term, and he had every opportunity to root out any fraud that he wanted. Most of the inspectors generally fired, I believe, were appointed by him, or at least a great many of them were. And so there's not much evidence of widespread fraud. In something as large as the federal government, is there some misspent money? Of course there is somewhere. But he's not going after that. He's not making surgical efforts to go after things where they have evidence. They shut down a vast swath of payments around the country. I'm getting calls from homeless service providers, from Meals on Wheels for the elderly that got their funding cut off until the court stepped in and overruled that. There's no indication there's fraud in those programs. Those are serving desperately vulnerable people. And if he has evidence of fraud, he really ought to come forward with it and go through the proper channels.
David, thank you so much for your time and insight.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That was David Super, professor of law and economics at Georgetown University Law Center.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA in Washington and around the world, thanks so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.